For breakfast.
All right, another big round of rugby league as round 11 came to a finish yesterday afternoon. A thrilling finish that it was to the Sharkies and the Doggies. But a couple of big incidences that we need to talk about, and there's nobody better to do that with on a Monday morning than Triple M Call Team's Anthony Maroon. G'day, mate.
Yeah, g'day, Lee. It was another big week, wasn't it? Didn't it have a bit of everything?
Yeah, once again it did. We seem to be saying that week in, week out, but that's the wonderful thing about the competition this year. But a couple of things that I think caught the imagination of many a fan, and it's divided the rugby league world. The first of those is the Dylan Napa incident, the tackle leading with the head. Was it a sin bin offence, or wasn't it Wayne Bennett's come out and slammed the way that he went into the tackle, and yet former Bronco Gordon Tallis suggesting that it was nothing more than one of those accidental head clashes. How did you see it, Maroon?
Well, I mean, far be it for me to argue with a legend of the game like Wayne Bennett, but look, I thought it looked accidental. That's what I thought. And if it was accidental, Dylan Napa gets sent to the sin bin in such a crucial part of the game.
Yeah.
And it was a crucial game too for the Roosters to sit. You know, there's a whole bunch of teams on the same amount of points, and they kind of drifted from that batch with that loss. So, yeah, look, it was a hard one, wasn't it? It's a contact sport. At the end of the day, it's a contact sport. Blokes are going to hit heads. Well, I don't like it any more than anyone else does, but we're going to get it.
Absolutely right. Well, when we talk about a contact sport, it became dead set a contact sport on Saturday night in the Storm and Manly game with Dylan Walker copping a punch to the face. And that, of course, we saw the first send-off since 2015. A lot of commentators suggesting they thought the sin bin or the send-off was a thing of the past. But we saw it then. A little bit of biff back. The fans were loving it. But right decision to send him off the field.
Well, I think so, mate. You know, that's what the NRL needs to do. You know, like with this, there shouldn't be black and white areas. If you're not allowed to punch, you punch. You do a little bit of time in the sin bin. So, I think the modern, you know, I think Kenty or someone was saying yesterday on one of the shows, you know, the modern rugby league supporter doesn't expect to see that. I think us older blokes who have been watching the game for 40 years, maybe we're not so offended by it, or we're not so sort of shocked by it. But look, it's not supposed to be in the game anymore, and it's a black and white area. You throw a punch, you know, there's consequences. So there were a couple of controversial issues on the weekend where I think the referees, like it or not, they got it right.
Yes. Absolutely. Of course, your boys, thrilling win over North Queensland. They were desperate for a win, but you stopped the party there.
Wasn't it fantastic? Oh. And, mate, I called the game.
Yep.
I've got a good record when I call my bunnies. I normally somehow manage to steer a victory. And I actually said that to Michael Maguire once many years ago, and he called me one day later. He goes, mate, are you calling that game tomorrow night? I did everything I can get.
Oh, it was absolutely brilliant, 20-19. And we also saw in that game, Storm versus Manly, just how much a team that has Cameron Smith in it misses him when he's not there, going down 24-4 against the side that has struggled throughout this year.
Yeah, and good on Manly. Now, they've taken two big scalps in 2 weeks, Manly. And with all the things that they've got floating around in the background, I think it says a lot about Trent Barrett and what the players think of him as a coach.
Well, some things never change, and unfortunately my boys Parramatta remain without another win on the bottom of the table after going down to the Warriors there by 10 points, and the Dragons continue on their mighty way, cleaning up the Raiders yesterday afternoon. They just seem unstoppable at the moment, Maroon.
And a couple of big games on the back of that this coming week. You got, what about this? You've got Dragons Penrith,
yep,
and you've got Rabbitohs Warriors. So what's that must be? Third versus fourth and first versus second.
It's like semi-final football.
Yeah, I haven't looked at my roster yet, but I'll probably call the game where 15th versus 16th. But anyway, that's all life.
Absolutely, mate. Well, it's been another great round of rugby league and great to talk to you, Maroon. We'll talk to you again next Monday.
Good on you, Lee. All the best, mate.
Well, what an amazing opportunity this is. And as I mentioned just a moment ago, I know we've got so many wonderful local musicians, particularly our kids who are involved at the Eisteddfod across the weekend, who may very well want to get involved in this. And they're calling on Queenslanders to become a part of the Queensland Symphony Orchestra for a day in the orchestra. And applications are open right now. To tell us a little bit more about it, the Community Engagement Manager is Judy Wood, and she joins us for breakfast. Good morning, Judy.
Good morning, Lee.
What a wonderful, unique opportunity this is. I know that this isn't the first year that this has happened. It's really starting to pick up now, isn't it?
It is indeed. We've had a lot of interest. This is our fourth year that we've run it. We always choose a really big program of fun and challenging music for people to play, and musicians from all around southeast Queensland and a little bit further away get together, have a fabulous weekend with each other and with our musicians. They get to learn lots, sitting with professional musicians and working with fabulous conductors, and they have a really great time.
That is fantastic. Now, is there any age limit to this?
We do say 18 and above,
yes.
But last year we took a couple of very keen 17-year-olds. If they have their parents' permission and they can play the music, they're very welcome.
That's wonderful, because as I say, we had Eisteddfod over the weekend. We had a number of year 12 students that would be right in that. And, some of the talent in this area here, we punch above our weight, I can assure you.
Oh, you definitely do. We really enjoy our contact with the Toowoomba students, yeah.
And I think this is just wonderful. They're under the baton and mentoring of a wonderful conductor as well.
That's right. We've got Benjamin Northey this year, who's Associate Conductor of the Melbourne Symphony and Conductor of Christchurch Symphony. And he's a very dynamic and enthusiastic man, and very encouraging. People would have a fabulous time working with him.
All right. So when is the weekend?
The weekend is the 17th and 18th of August. We get together on the Friday evening for a rehearsal, and then on the Saturday we have tutorials with Queensland Symphony Orchestra musicians, and then more rehearsals, and then a final concert on the Saturday evening.
All right, and where can people apply? Because I believe the applications are open now.
They are, yes. You can go to the Queensland Symphony Orchestra website, and there's a section under community, and all the information can be found there.
All right, so that is open through until the 29th of June at qso.com.au. And what an opportunity this would be for some of our young people, but also many of our wonderful, talented local musicians who might want to get involved in that. The Queensland Symphony Orchestra's A Day with the Orchestra. And it's been a pleasure, Judy. Thank you very much for letting us know about this wonderful event.
Thank you.
Yeah, how are you?
Good, thanks, mate. Good. So you're calling about what's happening on the range?
No, I've just come up the range.
Yes.
No dramas at all. Didn't see anything.
There's nothing there.
Nothing there.
Oh, well, there you go. I don't know what's going on then.
We talked over the UHF. We said, we just heard on Friday. Yep. They've got their wires crossed because, there's nothing there, mate. Nothing.
Well, that is unbelievable. So this was reported at 7:40 by QFES and was reported to us via the Chronicle. So I don't know what's going on, but this came through at 7:42 this morning after a response from the QFES. So bugger if I know, but I appreciate the call, mate.
As I said, it's just the usual, mate. Truck's going slow on the left lane. Everything else is fine.
Righto. And there was no sign of a truck that looked like it had been burnt out sitting on the side of the road or anything either. Ah, okay, that might be the one. All right, wonderful, mate. Thank you very much. Appreciate your call, John.
Not a problem.
Good on you, mate. Thank you. G'day, is that Peter?
G'day, Lee. How you going?
Good, mate. Good. How are you?
Yeah, good. Good. Running a bit late for Monday morning, though.
Okay, what's happening?
Around Highfield there, they've opened that new lane coming around, near the quarry.
Yes.
The Toowoomba bypass, so I'd allow half an hour if you're coming from Highfield.
Righto, mate. Thank you very much for letting us know that. So
no worries,
the
mate.
New lane opened up, and that's causing a delay of about an extra 30 minutes on your run in from Highfields.
I'd say so, yeah.
Righto. Mate, that is brilliant. Thank you for letting us know. I'll let everybody know.
See you, mate.
Thanks, Peter. Bye.
You cannot be serious!
Yes, I'm serious. And US President and serial misspeller Donald Trump has done it again. In a tweet welcoming Melania Trump home after a hospital stay, Mr. Trump misspelled his wife's name. Great to have our incredible First Lady back home in the White House. Melanie is feeling and doing really well. And it wasn't long before screenshots of the social media gaffe were floating around on the internet, with one punter suggesting, "I know Donald Trump is trying to upstage the royal wedding, but I think it's rude. He got married to Melanie just 5 days after Melania vanished." And speaking of the big event, it wasn't long before the president sent out a social media shout-out to the happy couple, wishing Barry and Regan all the best in their nuptials. And a bakery has sparked backlash over its decision to change the labels on its gingerbread men to the more politically correct gingerbread people. Yes, the owners of Jail Bean Bakery in Lancashire modified the name on a whim, according to bakery owner Paul Lewis. However, a recent customer took offence to the change when she went to order a gingerbread man and was informed they were actually gingerbread people. According to the customer, a bakery employee said the new gender-neutral name was the proper way to advertise the baked goods. Apparently, now to avoid offending anyone else, custard tarts will become custard concubines, a brownie will be known as a non-colour specific sweet chewy slice, and a croissant will be changed to that French thing.
You cannot be serious!
Music, celebrities, sport, gossip. The Entertainment Report on the Darling Downs Triple M.
Well, it's been more than 3 years since Madonna released her last album, Rebel Heart. So the follow-up is very much overdue. And for fans, thankfully new music appears to be finally on the way, with the Queen of Pop teasing a new project under the name Beautiful Game. Madge posted a collage of herself on Instagram with those words above her, adding the caption, "That I never learned, coming soon," with a load of music-related emojis. And given that her last few albums have mostly gone in three-year cycles, it seems likely that new Madonna music could be on the way very soon. Hugh Grant is set to marry for the very first time, and his friends are pretty chuffed about it. The 57-year-old will be putting a ring on fiancée Anna Eberstein's finger later this month. Wedding bands were posted at the Kensington and Chelsea Register office alerting fans to the fact that the couple have got a date. Apparently, the day has been a long time coming for his friends, with one telling The Sun this is a day none of Hugh's friends ever thought would happen.
I am, as ever, in bewildered awe of anyone who makes this kind of commitment. I know I couldn't do it.
The pair have been together for 6 years and have three children. It'll be the first marriage despite several high-profile relationships. And Oscar winner Michael Keaton has given a commencement speech at Kent State University graduation recently, and he wrapped up things in the most unbelievably wonderful way. Keaton, who was awarded an honorary Doctor of Humane Letters from the university earlier this year, reminded students that he was more than just a man.
I've got one more thing to say, and it'll only take me a second. I've got two words that I want you all to remember. They're very important, and if I leave you with anything, I'm going to leave you with these two words. And those two words are... I'm Batman.
And for mine, the only way that could have been better would be if Ben Affleck had swung in and fought Keaton for the microphone. And that's the latest.